Shir tonight is on the subject of Parshat HaShavua, Parshat Behar B'chukotai. I decided when looking at the context of today's shir to do two things. Number one, because it is 2 weeks before, essentially 2 weeks before Shavuot, and there is an element of Parshat Behar B'chukotai that links us back to Har Sinai, and Mamre HaSinai, I thought it would be an appropriate sheer topic to take us into that link between the Parsha and Shavuot so that we kind of get a little bit. Whoa. Sorry about that. So that we can get a pre-Shavuot sheer as well. That's number one. Number two, I just want to take a moment and really, since our subject of today's shir is, will take us all the way back to a core element of our relationship with the land of Israel, I also wanted to take the opportunity to dedicate this shir to Israel, to the people of Israel, and to offer a prayer on behalf of all of us for their continued safety during this challenging time. And to recall the pasuk "Kinei lo yanum v'lo yishan shomei Yisrael," Mitzvat Hashem, everybody should in Israel should remain safe and well. And with that, we're going to once again, thank you. Once again, I'm going to ask you if you can to turn on your videos. If not, I do understand it. And I'm going to share screen one more time. I'm going to post the source page for anybody who is just joining us. So there are the source pages. The topic of the shir is entitled Naseh V'Nishma, What Did We Know and When? And as I said, this is both a shir on Parshat Shavua as well as on Shavuot. How they connect together, we shall see as we begin to explore. But I want to take us what I call back to basics. And back to basics is the whole context of Naseh V'Nishma. We make a big deal out of the notion of Kabbalat HaTorah on Shavuot and Kabbalat HaTorah in the context of the story of Mamre HaSinai. We make a very big deal from the context of the declaration of Israel of Naseh V'Nishma, we will do, and we will learn, and we will obey, and we will commit ourselves. The phrase Naseh V'Nishma is a major component of our understanding of what happened at Matan Torah. And it's based on the Gemara in Shabbos, Masechet Shabbat Perek Daf Pechet, Darash Rabbi Simai, B'sha Shekdimu Yisrael Naseh L'Nishma, when Israel placed Naseh, we will do, before Nishma, we will learn or we will hear. Vao Shishim Riboshim Alachai Asheret L'Cholachad V'Echad Mi'Yisrael, 600,000 angels came and placed two crowns on every head of the Israelite people. Echad keneged naaseh, echad keneged nishma. The notion of naaseh and nishma and the sequence, hikdimu naaseh l'nishma, is a extraordinary moment for Israel, their crowning moment, if you will, and hence the reference to the crown. Amar Rabbi Elazar, b'sha shikdimu Yisrael naaseh l'nishma, yatzta bat kol v'yamra. When they did so and placed Naseh before Nishma, a voice came from heaven and said, Mi gila levanai raz zeh? Who revealed to my people this great secret? Shemalachai asheret mishtamshim bo. A secret that is known only to the angels. As it says, Baruchu Hashem malachav giborei koach, oseh dvaro lishmoa b'kol dvaro, referring to the malachim giborei koach, describing them as fulfilling his word and listening to his word, oseh dvaro, lishmoa b'kol dvaro, again, oseh before, maaseh before nishma. And based on that statement, we all know that what the chiddush of naaseh v'nishma is, as we typically understand it, is that the notion that they accepted the Torah even before they knew what the Torah said, that they, as we describe it, accepted the Torah, quote-unquote, sight unseen. And the God Moshe came to the people as God instructed, and he said to them, even before Matan Torah, I'm going to give you the Torah, are you willing to accept it? And they said yes, and all kinds of midrashim written about that moment. The problem we have is that when we really start to delve down deep into it in a pshat perspective, meaning to look at the text, it's not so neat and not so simple. The phrase Na'aseh v'nishma as a sequence appears only once in the context of the Torah's description of the events of Matan Torah. And it's not prior to Matan Torah. It's in fact in Shmot Perek Chaf Dalet. It's after Matan Torah. Meaning, if I look at the sequence in here, just bear with me for a minute. We're going to get a little technical. In chapter 19, they come to Har Sinai. In chapter 20 of Shmot, we have the entire experience of Har Sinai, the Ten Commandments, etc. In that previous chapter, God says to Moshe, go down to the people, speak to them, let them know, tell them. And Moshe comes down to the people and they say, Kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh, whatever God says we will do, we will obey. And there the phrase is strictly one of na'aseh. There's only one word that's used. And then we have Matan Torah, Parshas Yitro. Then we have all the Parshat Mishpatim. We have the entire sequence of all the laws of Mishpatim and the laws of the courts and a myriad of laws that are described, which are really an elaboration, a detailed elaboration of the Aseret HaDibrot. And then in Perek Chaf Dalet, we find the famous phrase, Vayomru Kol Ha'am. And Vayomru, the people said, Kol Asher Diber Hashem Na'aseh V'Nishma, whatever God says, we will do, obey, and we will hear or learn. And so the oddity here is that the phrase Na'aseh V'Nishma, despite the Gemara and Shabbos, actually appears in the text of Chumash after Matan Torah. So that's one problem with the question of what they were accepting when they said Na'aseh V'Nishma. Okay. And on that by in itself, I could have a simple answer. It's not a universally accepted answer, but it certainly is, let's say, the classic answer offered by Rashi. And that is that this whole passage, which I'm going to read with you in a moment, I haven't read it through intentionally. Just want to place in context, says Rashi on that phrase in Perek Chaf Dalet that this entire paragraph Ne'emra kodem aseret hadibrot. It's out of chronological sequence. And that this conversation that we're having in this passage is actually prior to the story of the aseret hadibrot, Matan Torah, and Parashat Mishpatim. And therefore, it's just put here into Chumash in Perek Chaf Dalet, but it really belongs earlier. And so it lines up Na'aseh V'Nishma with as we typically understand Na'aseh V'Nishma, we will do with that sequence of commitment to action even before we know what it says is in fact intact. At least on some level, that says Rashi resolves the problem. And so working with that assumption, we're going to look at alternatives in a moment, but working with that assumption, I want to look at that passage carefully. And again, ask ourselves the question, when they said Na'aseh V'Nishma, those famous two magical words that accepted upon themselves the Torah, what did they know and when did they know it? That's the key question of this shir. So now let's take a look at Shmot Perek Chaf Dalet in a little more depth. And again, I promise you, we will come back to Parshat Shavua. I'm starting from the Shavuot end, and then we'll get back to the Parsha end. All right. Ve'el Moshe Amar, to Moshe, God said or had said, again, depending on how Rashi's translation versus others, Ale el Hashem, ata ve'aron nadav ve'avihu v'shivim zikne Yisrael, v'yishtachavitem mirachok, come up the mountain, you, Aaron, nadav ve'avihu, 70 elders, V'nigash Moshe levado el Hashem behem lo yigashu. Moshe himself would go up all the way to the top of the mountain. The rest of the people would go up partway. V'yavo Moshe v'yisaper la'am et kol divrei Hashem. Moshe spoke to the people and told them all the words of God. V'et kol ha'mishpatim, with all of these ordinances or statutes. Vayan kol ha'am kol echad, the people answered with one voice, and they said, kol ha'dvarim she'diber Hashem na'aseh. Whatever God said, we will do. Now, just here in this one opening paragraph, I just want to highlight two points, which is this machloket Rashi and the rest of the commentaries as to where to place this chapter. Is this chapter in its place? Shmot, Perakov Dalet, which is after the giving of the Torah. Is it in fact earlier, or is it in place at the end of Parashat Mishpatim? Part of that revolves around two words. Number one, the grammar here in the phrase El Moshe Amar. For those who might be familiar with the issue of past perfect tense in the Torah, I just reference it here. If you're not familiar with it, don't worry about it. And the reference here to Mishpatim, which would seem to side with the opinion that this is in sequence after Parashat Mishpatim. I throw that out there. If you want to explore it further, you can. It's a parenthetical aside. Let's move forward. Vayichtov Moshe kol divrei Hashem. Moshe wrote down all the words of Hashem. Vayashkem b'moker, he got up in the morning and he built an altar and he brought 12 offerings corresponding to the 12, built 12 matzevot, 12 monuments corresponding to the 12 tribes of Israel. Vayishlach et na'arei b'nei Yisrael v'yu'olot u'zvayizbuchu zvachim, and he sent the young, the na'arim of Israel, and they brought all kinds of offerings and sacrifices. Vayikach Moshe chatzi adam, he took half the blood. Vayasim ba'aganot, and he placed it in some kind of basin. Vachatzi adam zarak al mizbeach, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. What is he going to do with the other half of blood? We'll see in a moment. Here's the key verse. Vayikach sefer habrit, Moshe took the book of the covenant. Vayikra boznei ha'am, and he read it to the people. And they responded, Vayomru, kol asher diber Hashem, na'aseh v'nishma. Whatever God says, we will do, and we will listen. At which point Moshe took the blood that he had placed in the basin, Vayikach Moshe tadam, sprinkled it on the people, Vayizrok al ha'am, and he said, Hine dam habrit, this is the blood of the covenant, asher karat Hashem imachem al kol advarim eleh, which God has enacted with you over these words. And the rest of the paragraph, Moshe is then instructed to come up the mountain. There's a great vision on the mountain of a fire. Moshe goes into the mountain, and there he remains for 40 days and 40 nights. Again, which is what leads those Rashi and others to say that this is an earlier piece. That's the passage. Now, I don't know if you picked it up. I tried to emphasize it, but there's a glaring problem for us philosophically in this text. We're so used to the notion that Naseh v'nishma means they accepted the Torah without knowing what it said. Even before they heard it, they accepted it sight unseen. When we read Pasuk Zion, it says, on the face of it, it seems to say the exact opposite. Moshe wrote down all that God had spoken. He wrote it down in a book called Sefer HaBrit, the Book of the Covenant. He read it to the people, Vayikra b'ozne ha'am. And then they said, whatever God says, na'aseh v'nishma. So, of course, the obvious question being, what is this Sefer HaBrit that Moshe read to them? To which they responded and said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we celebrate Na'aseh v'nishma on Shavuot. We define that phrase as Kabbalat Torah. We accepted the Torah. Did we accept the Torah sight unseen? Or like that famous medrash with all the jokes that go around it, did we first hear all of the words of the Torah and the entire Sefer HaBrit and then say, okay, you know what? I like what I hear. I'll buy it. And the whole notion of them having accepted the Torah a priori without knowing what it says is challenged by the text. Vayikach Sefer HaBrit. He took the Book of the Covenant and he read it to them. What is this Sefer HaBrit? That essentially is the question of today's shiur that I want to devote this shiur to. What is this Sefer HaBrit that Moshe read to them and that they then said Na'aseh v'nishma? Why is this such a big deal? Why do Chazal make such a big factor over Na'aseh v'nishma if they're simply saying, okay, you know what, we like what we hear? What do you mean? Nasa before Nishma, they accepted it before they heard it, but that's not true. They heard it, and then accepted it. So what is the Sefer Ebrit? That, at the core of it, is the question we're going to try to address in today's shiur. So I want to start with the most radical opinion, which is, of course, Rashi, because Rashi is of the opinion that this whole section is pre-Matan Torah, as I said before. And if it's pre-Matan Torah, that may resolve some textual issues, but it raises the bigger question, what is Moshe writing down, and what is this Sefer HaBrit if this whole passage is pre-Matan Torah? So just to put it in perspective, according to Rashi, they come to HaSinai. This is in chapter 24. It occurs back in chapter 19. I'm not going to go through the textual issues here. Not our subject. It just, take Rashi at face value. This is early. You come to Mamre HaSinai. They're going to receive the Torah tomorrow. Moshe writes something down, calls it a book of the covenant. Over this book, they enact a brit, hinei dam brit. They sprinkle the blood of the brit. The people say, Naaseh v'nishma. What are they hearing? Says Rashi, what did Moshe write down? He wrote down everything that was relevant up until that point. Namely, mi breshit v'ad matan Torah, the Torah as we know it from the beginning from breshit, until they received the Torah. The handful of mitzvot they received at Marab, which was in Parsha B'Shalach, Shabbos, Kibbut Avaim, Paraduma, maybe it's on discussions exactly which mitzvot they heard. And he took this Sefer HaBrit and he read it to the people. What is the Sefer HaBrit? Rashi repeats it. From Breshit to Matan Torah and the mitzvot that we got in Marab, three mitzvot. Sham Sam Lo Chok Mishpat B'Sham Nisal. In other words, and the translations, by the way, for anybody who needs it, translations of all these sources are side by side. I'm just reading and translating as we go. So just to understand, according to Rashi, Moshe brought them to Sinai, and he opened and he wrote down all of the Torah from Breshit till the story of the Exodus from Egypt. He writes that, he defines that as the Book of the Covenant. He stands up before the people and he says, here's the Book of the Covenant, and he reads it to them. And the people said, we accept it. So to be clear, what he read to them was the stories of creation, the story of Adam and Chava, the story of Cain and Hevel, the story of Abraham, the story of Yitzchak, the story of Yaakov, the story of the brothers, the story of them coming down to Egypt, the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Then the people said, you know what? We like this Torah. It's all stories. It's a storybook. I like that. That's great. That's exciting. That's dynamic. We accept. Moshe says, okay, now you get 613 mitzvot. What? What did they do to us? You know what we would do if that came to a best, and we'd call that a mekach tos. It's a purchase on false premise. You read to us the stories of Breshit and Yetziat Mitzrayim, and then we accepted, and then you hit us with 613 mitzvot. So maybe that's what's so dramatic about it, is that they don't say no, right? They don't retract their commitment, but it's a very odd position. And it's so odd that it leads other mepharshim, like the Ramban, and many others. I'm just doing cross-section sampling of the Rishonim, to say that the stories, the psukim, are in fact in order. Moshe wrote down in the Sefer HaBrit everything he had been commanded. The chukim mishpatim b'torot, the Torah, the Ten Commandments, all the pashat mishpatim were all written down in that book. Literally, says the Ibn Ezra, says Ramban, up until that point in time, whatever had been given was written. So to be clear, that Sefer HaBrit that Moshe read to the people before they said Naaseh v'nishma, according to the Ramban, included, yes, Breshit, yes, Shmot, all the laws of the Ten Commandments, all the laws of Parshat Mishpatim, which are a cross-section elaboration of the Aseret HaDibrot. We would call that a significant sample, statistically a significant sampling of the mitzvot. And Moshe says, here are the chapter headings. Here are all the laws elaborated. There are more, but essentially they're all categorized here. Is this what you want? Vayikach Sefer Brit, he took the Sefer Brit, he read it to them, ka'uba oznehem, and then kiblu alehem, they accepted. They accepted what they heard, and they accepted the Brit to what will still come. And so na'aseh v'nishma means we accept that which we already heard, which we already see in this Brit, and v'nishma, whatever comes later. But you understand that there's much less of a novelty if what they heard was the Aseret HaDibrot and all of the laws of Pashat Mishpatim. They heard it. They heard it all. There's not much you can add that's going to surprise anybody once you finish the Ten Commandments and Pashat Mishpatim. They heard it all. But then I don't understand why the Gemara and Shabbos makes such a big deal out of Na'aseh V'Nishma. So Nasa, we commit ourselves to the Ten Commandments and Peshat Mishpatim and all the laws and statutes of the elaboration. And then, which include idolatry and which include all the laws. Shabbos, you name it. And then they say, okay, but there's a few other details, so we'll accept and we'll listen to the rest of the details. That's not such a big chiddush. That's not so novel. So we're left with this mystery. On the one hand, Rashi says what Moshe read to them was a storybook of their forefathers. And according to the Ramban, it was a cross-section of all the laws of the Torah. But neither of these two opinions give me the satisfaction of understanding why the Gemara says Na'aseh V'Nishma was such a revolutionary notion. So we're left with a mystery still to resolve. Now, the truth is that this machloket Rashi and the Ramban over what Na'aseh V'Nishma is and what the Sefer HaBrit is, right? That's the key. I want to go back to this phrase, right? Moshe took this book that he wrote, this Sefer HaBrit, and he read it to the people, Vayikra bo'oznei ha'am. Just for anybody still who has joined us in the last few minutes, I'm just adding the source page to the chat for your benefit. He read the Book of the Covenant to them. And then they said, Na'aseh V'Nishma. And so we are still left with this question. What is the Sefer HaBrit, this Book of the Covenant? Rashi says it's the story of Bereshit, which is basically a storybook. And the Ramban says it's all the mitzvot, the Aseret HaDibrot, and all the laws of Mishpatim. Couldn't get two more extreme examples than that. The truth is that both of these opinions appear in a much earlier source. Essentially, Rashi and the Ramban, all the Rishonim, are lining up in accordance with one of two opinions articulated by our sages in the Mechilta. And in this Mechilta, the Torah takes from a chronological perspective, Rashi's approach, namely that this is our chapter 24 is early. Okay, but that's less significant for us. The Mechilta asks the obvious question, Vayikach Sefer HaBrit, Vayikra bo'oznei ha'am. Moshe took the Book of the Covenant, he read it to the people, Aval lo shamanu mehechan kara bo'oznehem. The Torah doesn't tell us from where he read, meaning we have exactly the question that we have articulated, and all the Rishonim are lining up, Rashi Ramban, what is it that Moshe read? So the opinions are as follows. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says, what did Moshe read to them? Mitchilat Breshit V'adkan. From the beginning of the Torah until here. Now, until here, it depends where here is, but according to the Chilta, this is early, Rashi's opinion. So essentially what Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says is that Moshe gave them a book of stories, Breshit, Yitziat Mitzrayim, albeit foundational stories and theological relationship with God and philosophical and God's promise of redemption, etc. But nonetheless, there were very few mitzvot in that book, and they said Na'aseh V'Nishma. Rebbe says, okay, mitzvot shenitztavu Adam HaRishon had mitzvot. Mitzvot shenitztavu B'nei Noach, Noach had mitzvot. mitzvot shenitzavu b'mitzrayim. We got some mitzvot like Pesach in Mitzrayim. Others mitzvot we got in Mara. V'shar kol ha-mitzvot kulan. And you know what? We also got the rest of the mitzvot. Even though, so in this book of the Brit, says Rebbe, are all the mitzvot. So wait a second. If Sefer Brit included all the mitzvot, then back to my first question. What's the novelty? They said Na'aseh v'nishma. They listened to Moshe read all 613 commandments, and then they said Na'aseh v'nishma. I'm not going to take a show of hands. How many people heard before they came to the shiur today that Israel heard all the mitzvot, and only then did they accept the Torah? It's not what it says. We are always taught that they accept the Torah sight unseen. So these two opinions are very complicated. All right. Comes along Rabbi Yishmael. And Rabbi Yishmael offers a third opinion. Out of the blue. And it's an opinion that is quoted by Chizkuni and many other Rishonim. And here's what Rabbi Yishmael says. You want to know what Sefer HaBrit was? I'll tell you exactly what it is. I know where it starts. I know where it finishes. And I know exactly what it looks like, says Rabbi Yishmael. B'tchilat ha'inyan, the beginning of Sefer Brit, reads as follows. V'shavta ha'aretz, Shabbat la'Hashem, the land will remain a Shabbat for God. 6 years you shall sow the fields, she'eshanim tizra sadecha, and in the seventh year you'll have Shemitah. The laws of Shemitah, the laws of Yovel. Vibrachot uklalot, and all of the blessings and curses of the Tochacha. That's what it says at the beginning of the book of the Brit. And at the end of the book of the Brit, it says, Eila achukim v'mishpatim v'atorot. These are the laws and the statutes and the Torot. Amu mekablin anu aleinu, they said we accept it. Once they accepted, they took the blood, they sprinkled it on the people, and they made a brit. What is Rabbi Yishmael pointing to? So what section of the Torah begins with the laws of Shemitah, Yovel, and Brachot and Klalot, and ends with Eilach Hokim HaMishpatim V'Atarot? If you haven't figured it out by now, the answer is
Parashat HaShavua.
The answer is Parashat Shavua, the combined portions of Behar and Bechukotai, oddly enough, which are in the end of Vayikra. So now we've made a total chunk of the sequence of the chapters in the Torah, if you haven't, again, we'll sort that out in a second. But Rabbi Yishmael in the Mechilta is reflected in other, in the Rishonim as well. Rashi took the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Ramban took the opinion of Rabbi. Hizkoni took the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. What is the Sefer HaBrit says? The Chizkuni? Heim ha-tochachot. That is the tochacha. The admonition, the lessons and curses, as it says in the Mechilta. Our parasha starts with the laws of Shemitah, and the laws of Yovel, and the laws of the land of Israel, and the laws of the sanctity of the land, and the laws of selling land, and the laws of buying land, and all the laws pertaining to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And then it continues with the blessings and the curses of brachot and klalot, and says Chizkuni, says Rabbi Yishmael, that's Sefer HaBrit. How did we jump from Shemot, Matan Torah, to the end of Sefer Vayikra? So for this, we need to understand, and here we're going to jump from part one of the shiur, which was about Shavuot and about Shemot and about Matan Torah, to part two of today's shiur, which is about Parshat Shavuot. And we need to jump into the beginning of the parsha. To understand the question that I'm going to share with you, let's do the text first. Beginning of Parshat Behar, opening pasuk of Parshat Behar. I have a particular affinity for Parshat Behar, as my parents will attest, because it was my bar mitzvah parsha. But I got lucky enough not to have to do the double parsha that year. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Behar Sinai Lemor. God said to Moshe on Har Sinai, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land, and I will give you, v'shavta ha'aretz, shabbat la'Hashem, and you will let the land sleep, rest for God. That's exactly the quote that Rabbi Yishmael used to say this is the beginning of the Shefta Arat Shabbat Lashem. This is the beginning of Sefer HaBrit. It starts here. Where does it end? It ends with the phrase, Eila Chukim Mishpatim Yatorot, which is the end of Pashat Bechukotai, which continues, Eila Chukim Mishpatim Yatorot. You got to finish the Pasuk. Asher Natan Hashem Beino Ovem Bnei Yisrael. These are the statutes and ordinances and laws which God made or gave to the children of Israel. Behar Sinai Biyad Moshe. We miss sometimes that Pashat Bahar begins with the phrase Bahar Sinai, and Pashat Bechukotai, the Tochacha, ends with the same phrase. They're a unit. They're a unit that starts at HaSinai and ends at HaSinai. To which Rashi offers his very famous phrase, Ma Inyan Shemitah Etzel HaSinai. What is the subject matter of Shemitah doing at the context of HaSinai? So Rashi understands this phrase in one way. We're going to understand it slightly differently. Alokol mitzvot nemru b'Sinai. Weren't all the mitzvot given at Sinai? So Rashi's question is based on the assumption that every mitzvah is connected to HaSinai some philosophical way. Why here specifically does the Torah emphasize that it's at HaSinai? However, there's a much deeper way to understand, there's a much more textual way to understand the question. And it's going to demand of us a little bit of navigating through Chumash. Says the Rashbam, Bahar Sinai, why is Bahar Sinai a Chiddush? Kodem Shehukam Ol Moed. Because it tells me that this portion was given before the temple, before the tabernacle had been erected, had been established. So to understand what's going on here, and I apologize, this part of it I didn't put on the source page, and I apologize for that. I'm going to take you into a Chumash for a second, and you'll just have to follow on the screen for a minute. Beginning of Sefer Vayikra. The very opening pasuk of Sefer Vayikra starts, Vayikra el Moshe. God called to Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem Elav, and spoke to him, Me Ohel Moed Lemor, from the tent of meeting, saying, what is the tent of meeting? What is this Mishkan? It's the tabernacle they built at the end of Sefer Shemot, right? From the experience at HaSinai in sequence, we receive the law's construction of the Mishkan, then we have the Parsha of the sin of the golden calf, and then we have the building of the Mishkan, and the very last psukim of Sefer Shemot, very end of the book of Shemot, we find that Vayichas Anan et Ol Moed, that the cloud that was so central to the story of the experience at HaSinai, the cloud, the fire that had hovered over HaSinai, had now filled the Mishkan. Uchvod Hashem Aleh Mishkan. God's presence filled the Mishkan. And Anan Hashem Aleh Mishkan Yomam, the cloud was on the Mishkan by day, and the fire was upon the Mishkan by night, in the eyes of all of Israel. The moment the Shekhinah moves from HaSinai to the Mishkan, Moshe's, the power of prophecy, the communication conduit between God and Moshe shifts from Mount Sinai to the tent of meeting, to Ohel Moed. It's not an accident that the Mishkan is called Torat Kohanim, that the book of Vayikra is called Torat Kohanim. It's the laws of the Mishkan, and every aspect of Sefer Vayikra revolves around the tabernacle, revolves around the Mishkan, whether it's for the Kohanim or whether it's for the people or whether it's for concept of sanctity and tumah and tara and purity and impurity. It all revolves around the Mishkan. This is the last section before our parsha, which was the actually the laws of the holidays and the laws of the Ner Tamid and the Shemen Zayit and the oil and the menorah. This is all tabernacle related. The Shechina is in the Mishkan. And then suddenly, God spoke to Moshe, Behar Sinai? Understand the question. It's not just about the fact that these mitzvot belong on Har Sinai. It's the whole sequence of Parsha Behar is out of place. Moshe can't be talking to God on Har Sinai. Har Sinai is now void of any sanctity. The Shechina is moved from Har Sinai into the Ol Moed. There is no communication on Har Sinai. Har Sinai is irrelevant now. They're in the Ol Moed. And suddenly for all the Parshat Behar, the entire story of Shemitah and Yovel and the laws of the houses and the laws of selling land, that's all Behar Sinai, Sefer Parsha B'chukatai, in B'chukatai Telechu, the blessings, the curses, the covenant of blessings and curses, the deal, the contract. If you keep the mitzvot, it'll be great. And if you don't keep the mitzvot, you'll be punished. The entire experience of Parshat B'chukatai ends Eila chukim mi'amishpatim mi'atarot asher natan Hashem b'no v'em b'nei Yisrael b'har Sinai. These are the laws, the statutes, the covenant that God made with Israel at Har Sinai. So coming back to the question, understand that according to what Rabbi Yishmael is saying and according to what the Chizkuni is saying, this Sefer HaBrit that we're talking about is the contract over the land of Israel. It's the contract over the blessings and curses, Shemitah, Yovel, and the brachot, the klalot, and the curses. That's Sefer HaBrit. It starts at the beginning of Parsha Behar, and it ends at the end of Parsha B'chukatai. I'll come back to the question Rashi asks about Ma'inyan Shemitah et Sinai and try to understand it in a moment. But I want to expound on this notion that this portion that we're reading this Shabbos in Shul, Behar and B'chukatai, which deal with separate subjects. Behar deals with the land of Israel and its sanctity. B'chukatai deals with the consequences of the mitzvot. If you keep the mitzvot, blessings and prosperity. And if you don't keep the mitzvot, devastation and famine and exile eventually. Right, that notion, to associate that with the Brit, with the covenant, is very powerful. And I'll just show you a couple of interesting observations. Let's delve into a little bit more the Tochacha itself, the admonitions, the covenant, the blessings and curses as they appear in Vayikra Perek Chava. And I'm not going to read through all of them. That's not my subject for today. I just want to highlight a word that keeps popping up in the Tochacha that we haven't seen yet. We've seen it once. We saw when Moshe sprinkled the blood on the people and he said, Dinei Dam Brit, this is the Brit, this is the blood of the covenant. And he takes the book of the covenant and he reads it to the people, Sefer HaBrit. It's the first time we've heard the term Brit in its description of the relationship between God and Israel. Comes along the Tochacha and says, Im b'chukatai telech, if you will keep my statutes, and if you will keep my laws, v'it mitzvotai tishmu, v'akimoti et briti itchem, then I will establish my brit with you. Whereas if you don't keep my mitzvot, and if you reject my commandments, im b'chukatai timasu, then lafrechem et briti, to violate my covenant, to break my brit, then I will bring upon you the vengeance of my brit. But at the end of it all, from verse 25 to verse 42, if I skip to the end of the parasha, v'zacharti et briti Yaakov, I will remember my brit with Yaakov, and my brit with Yitzchok, and my brit with Avraham, and I will remember my brit with you, v'zacharti lehem brit rishonim. Eila chukim, these are the laws, the statutes which God had made with Israel at Har Sinai. So even the language of the Tochacha itself highlights the covenantal relationship between God and Israel, but that covenant is referred to in that moment where Moshe takes the book of the covenant, reads it to the people, and the people say, Nasa v'nishma. That's it. That's the only reference we have to the covenant. That's what defines, in the language of Soloveitchik Zatzal, this notion of a covenantal community. In the Tochacha, that word brit appears over and over and over again. I'll go one step further. You know that the blessings, curses, that covenant, or that description in detail, appears in the Torah twice. It appears in the Torah in Parshat Bechukotai, in Sefer Shemot, and in Sefer Vayikra, and it appears again in much more elaborate form at the end of Parshat Ki Tavo, at the end of Devarim. Yes? With me on that one? Okay. The end of Devarim, at the end of the Tochacha, we find the following verse. Describing the Tochacha itself, describing the blessings and curses in Devarim, Eile divrei habrit asher tzivah Hashem et Moshe lichrot et bnei Yisrael be'eretz Moav. These are the words of the brit, the covenant, which God commanded Moshe to make with Israel in the land of Moav. Milvad habrit asher karati tam b'chorev. Besides the covenant, the brit, which he had made with them back in Chorev, which is Sinai. In other words, the Torah itself tests twice that the Tochacha, the concept of Tochacha, the concept of blessings and curses, is in fact what we call Brit, which makes sense if you think about what Brit is. Brit is a contract. What is a contract? Here's what I have to do. If I do that, here's the consequences. And if I don't do it, here are the consequences. That's what a contract is. When you sign a contract, a legal contract, you understand what you're obligated to do. You understand the consequences of doing it, and you understand the consequences of reaching it. Only that's exactly what this covenant is. If you keep the commandments, if you don't keep the commandments, here's the consequences of fulfillment or non-fulfillment. I'll give you another example. In Devarim Yud Aleph, this is in Parshat Re'eh. This is in the context of the mitzvah in the Torah, when they enter into the land of Israel, to go to two mountains in the area of Shechem, Har Gerizim and Har Eval, and to establish an elaborate ceremony of blessings and curses there. A third reenactment, if you will, of this blessings and curses phenomenon that they do in Shechem, referred to as the Bracha Uklala, the blessings and curses, and the two mountains that are so designated. When that happens in Sefer Yehoshua, they come, and Yehoshua does it twice for reasons that are not an issue for now. The people say to Yehoshua, Na'avod, et Hashem Elokeinu na'avod u'b'kolo nishma. We accept upon ourselves that God's voice, to God we will serve, we will obey, and in his voice we will hear or heed. If you notice, similar phraseology to Naaseh v'nishma, right? Na'avod and nishma. V'echot, Yeshua brit. And Yeshua made a brit with them. And not only that, he wrote it down and he called it a sefer. V'echtov Yeshua tadvarim eile b'sefer Torat Elokim. So I have a sefer, a brit. Now, in case you were wondering, the phrase Book of the Covenant, sefer, a brit, appears in Tanakh in two contexts. Our context that we're discussing here this evening, and one other context, which is in the Book of Kings. And time does not allow me to go through the whole story, but you're familiar with it. We read it as a Haftorah at some point during the year. The notion of them finding a Sefer Torah in the Beit HaMikdash, time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Yoshiyahu. They find this Sefer Torah, they open it up, they read it, and immediately, Vayikrat Begadav, the king tears his garments. And he commanded them all to go and to enact an extraordinary revolution, spiritual revolution, recognizing that all the words of this Sefer are going to come true, and Gdola Chamat Hashem, God's anger is against us, and we haven't listened to the words that are written in this Sefer, and that they find this Sefer Torah, and it so strikes a fear in their hearts that they do an extraordinary tshuva led by Yoshiyahu. Komar Hashem, hineni mevi ba'al makom azali kol yeshvav et kol divrei ha-sefer asher kara melech Yehuda. They are frightened by the prophecy of that this is going to be a evil that will befall this place because of that which is written in this book. Now, it's possible that they found the Sefer Torah in its entirety. And it happened to be open to the Parsha of the Tochacha. That's what the Radak says, that it happened to be Matzu Sefer Niglau b'Parshat Tochachot. They found the Sefer that was open to, that was rolled to the portion of the Tochacha. Others suggest, and I've heard this notion before, that what they found was not a full Sefer Torah, but they found the version of the Sefer Torah that's read by the king at the midst of Hakel. And it contains a specific sections of the Torah. Either way, I want to read this next section. Ve'yal ha-melech bet Hashem, the king goes up to the house of the temple, to the house of God, together with all the inhabitants of Judah and Yerushalayim, and young to old, listen to this verse. Vayikra be'oznehem et kol divrei sefer habrit hanimtza bevet Hashem. And he reads to their, in their ears all the words of this book of the covenant that was found in the temple. It's almost a verbatim repetition of the key phrase which we started. Moshe took the sefer habrit, vayikra be'oznehem, and he read it to the people. And they made a brit, they made a covenant. And they established it, and they signed it, and they accepted it. In other words, what I'm suggesting to you is that the notion of brit, covenant, isn't just a description of the Torah. It's not just a description of the book of the covenant. What's in the book of the covenant? He read it to them. Okay, so what did he write down? He wrote down Breishit, and he wrote down Shemot, and he wrote down the Mitzvot, and that's Tochach, and that's Sefer Abrit. Says Rabbi Yishmael, says the Chizkuni, in every other place where we find Sefer Habrit, the notion of covenant, the notion of covenant is always tied to the concept of consequences. It's not just a covenant, it's not just a book of Mitzvot, it's a book that describes the consequences of obedience to those mitzvot, of commitment to those mitzvot. That's what Sefer HaBrit is. And so when Moshe read the book of the covenant, he didn't read Breishit, and he didn't read Shemot, and he didn't read Vayikra. What he read was the Tochacha of Parshat Ki Tavoh. That was said, as the text attests, Behar Sinai. That's the admonitions, that's the blessings and curses, that's what the Sefer HaBrit is. It's the covenantal consequences of the mitzvah. Now I can go back to Rashi. And Rashi raises the question of Shemitah and Yovel, and he says, why is Shemitah and Yovel at Har Sinai? I don't think he means, although his answer is a different answer, but let's assume the language of the Medrash. I don't think he means just the question of why these mitzvot were connected to Har Sinai. I think he means, or I think the phrase means, of all the mitzvot of the Torah, why are the mitzvot of Shemitah Yovel and the laws of the land of Israel the cross-section sampling of mitzvot that are included in the Book of the Covenant? Why does the Sefer HaBrit not start with the Tochacha? Why doesn't it start? Why does it start with Shemitah Yovel and the laws of the land of Israel? That's the question. Because the Tochacha is the Sefer HaBrit of Har Sinai. The book, the covenant of the Chukotai is the book of the covenant. It was said at Har Sinai. It was articulated at Har Sinai. That's exactly what Moshe read to them. He read to them the book of the covenant, namely the Tochacha. So why is Shemitah there? And why is Yovel there? And why is the Kedushat Haaretz there? And why is the selling of land there? Why is those the mitzvot that are there? That's the question. And there Rashi's answer is very clear. Right? There, if you look at the Torah, you understand the answer right away. Interconnected. The sanctity of the land of Israel, the centrality of the land of Israel, the laws of Shemitah, the laws of Yovel, the attest that God has given us the land, that is the subject of the Tochacha. When it comes to the negative, if you don't keep the commandments, then I will destroy the land, I will make the land desolate, I will exile you from the land. The Torah says, as tirtzeh ha'aretz et shabtoteha, I will make it so that if you don't observe the sanctity of the land while you live there, I will force the land to observe its own Shabbat with you absent there. That's what the Tochacha is about. So, essentially, stop sharing for a moment. What I'm suggesting to us here in this discussion, and I want to come back to that which I started, is that when Moshe comes to the people of Israel, assuming for a moment I take the Michilta and Rabbi Shmuel's statement at face value, before Matan Torah, before they hear the Aseret HaDibot, before they hear the Ten Commandments, and before they hear Parshat Mishpatim, before they learn about the Mishkan, Moshe stands before them and he reads them Sefer HaBrit. And what does Sefer HaBrit contain? It contains two portions, two chapters, chapter 25 and 26 of our book of Vayikra, Parshat Bahar B'chukatai. It starts, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Bahar Sinai. It ends, this is the brackets of the book that was given to them at Har Sinai. It contains the admonitions, it contains the consequences of their commitment to the land of Israel and the commitment to the Torah and the commitment to the mitzvot. Im b'chukatai tilechu, v'im b'chukatai timasu. In other words, that's precisely what the Medrash says was the extraordinary, revolutionary notion of Na'aseh V'Nishma. When they said Na'aseh V'Nishma, Moshe had read to them two chapters. According to this position of Chizkuni, according to Rabbi Shmuel, not like Rashi, not like the Ramban, Moshe read two chapters. What did he read them? He read to them before they heard Anochi, before they heard Lo Yilecha, before they heard any mitzvah in the Torah. They heard that if whatever they do with these mitzvot that they're about to get, if they commit themselves to it, they will be granted the blessing of the land of Israel with all of its sanctity. And if they violate it, they will be exiled from that land with all of its consequences. The Brit was over the contract of the land of Israel. And that's the Na'aseh V'Nishma. What we heard was that whatever we accept, the consequences are we can either stay in the land, which was a promised land we've been dreaming about, we've been anticipating, we've been hoping for, we've been yearning for 400 years of slavery, and ever since, this is the anticipation, what we are, what it comes with a price tag, it comes with a commitment level. If you commit to the Torah, which you haven't heard yet, then you can remain in the land of Israel. And if you don't, you'll be exiled from that very land. It's the sanctity of the land of Israel that stands at the center of the Book of the Covenant of Sefer HaBrit. And then the people said, Na'aseh V'Nishma. That's the extraordinary observation of Na'aseh V'Nishma that Chazal identified. They were willing to accept before they heard the Torah, according to all the chronology. This comes down to before they heard the Torah, they were willing to accept the consequences of a commitment to the Torah, the entire portion of the Tochacha, Bahar, and Bechukatai, and understood that the connection to the land of Israel was the price, for better or for worse. It was the price tag of that covenant. And that's when they proclaimed Na'aseh V'Nishma. So from that perspective, Bahar Bechukatai has a unique place in the context of Chumash, according to at least one third of the opinion of our sages, according to one, let's call it a third of the Rishonim, these two portions together form, the Brit, the covenant, at which at Har Sinai we proclaimed, Nasa v'nishma, we will obey and we will commit. And with that, I will pause for 2 minutes, what time we have left, for questions. No questions?
What's the relevance of Bahar, the Parshat Bahar, to the Tochacha?
I'll give you a simple answer and I'll give you a complicated answer. Yeah. The simple answer is that as I pointed out, the Tochacha constantly refers back to the mitzvot of Shemitah and Yovel as a symbol of the exile. Az titzeh haaretz et shaptoteha. So the land will then be able, if you are not in obedience, if you are not committed to the mitzvot, the consequences are exile from the land, and then the land will lay fallow. If you won't observe the Shemitah, I'll force the Shemitah upon you in a much broader sense, if you will, to put it in those terms. That's the way Rashi understands the link. I think that there's a deeper link, and the deeper link has to do with the connection between Shavuot, Matan Torah, and the land of Israel. But that's part two of the shiur. So for that, you'll have to come back to some other shiur we'll have to schedule at some point or another.
It's interesting that Rashi also says that the first verse in Bereshit is just...
It's about Eretz Yisrael, correct. Correct. Daya, you had a question?
Yeah. The thing about Shemitah and Yovel is that we don't get to... own the land. Whatever we have goes back to God. So it's like, it's not this real gift. It's, God lets us know that, you know, we give back our any slave.
It's conditional. It's conditional.
It's very conditional. And, right. And so it's not an actual gift. Right. So I think it's sort of, basically it shows that the Jewish people accept the fact that they're really not getting anything.
Well, they're getting it if
it really belongs to God.
It's the carrot for their obedience, correct? For the price that we have to pay. The price is obedience.
Yeah, we get it for those other 49 years or the 6 years and not the seventh year. Yeah. We're always having to give it back to God. We're always having to remember who
that's how it works. That works. Okay. Any other questions? All right. Then I will adjourn here. I thank you for your time. I thank you for listening. I thank you for your cameras and your faces. And Bezrat Hashem, we'll have other opportunities to learn together. Have a wonderful evening. Enjoy Parshat Bahar v'Chukatai. And I hope you have a meaningful Shavuot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Fantastic.
My pleasure.
We're a little bit awestruck, therefore no questions.
It's our pleasure, Rez. Really a pleasure.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.